everybody. I'm Jerry Helms. I'm an abstinent food addict from Titusville, Florida, in Region 8.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi,
Jerry. Region 8 is the southeast region of the United States. It covers from North Carolina south, including South and Central America and the Caribbean Islands. So we're a big, diverse region. We even speak more than two languages. Some of the South American countries speak different dialects, so we can't even understand each other in the same continent. I came to Overeaters Anonymous on May 15, 1993. At the time, I weighed in excess of 248 pounds. I don't know my top weight because at 248 in January 93, I decided I just quit weighing myself. And I went up two more dress sizes to a size 24, and it was tight. I am passing pictures around. You won't see my top weight because, like many of you, when I got to 22, the cameras went away. I was the one taking the pictures. I found it funny we got Play-Doh for our stress busters. I did eat Play-Doh. not a lot. I don't know. It was handy. I wanted to see what it tasted like. I have five brothers and sisters, and I was real active as a kid, so you couldn't tell I was a compulsive overeater as a kid. I ran a lot. I played volleyball. I swam competitively. I had a brother on either side, so we went running, chasing salamanders and riding bikes, you know, so I wasn't fat as a kid. But when on my senior year of high school, I had knee surgery, and all of a sudden I went to a size 16. What do you wear in high school? Maybe 8, 10? I don't know. I never even kept track of what size they were. Wore what my mom bought. And all of a sudden, I remembered I was in a 16, and it was terrifying. So my first diet was AIDS candy.
Yep.
I think they were feeding those AIDS candies, because I ate a lot of them really fast. Whole box of them won't make you lose weight either. And then went on for the next 20 so years dieting and losing weight and gaining weight. I would get sometimes hitting a goal weight, and then what did I do? I celebrated with food. Seemed logical to me. Hey, I lost 10 pounds. Let's go get an ice cream cone. And the next thing you know, I'd be on another diet. So that happened, you know, that was my whole adult life until I hit 43 years old and found Overeaters Anonymous. I went over 200 pounds three times, and like I said, the last time I hit 248. And I can tell you we could sit up here and top each other's drama stories. I'm also a recovered drama queen, so I'm going to go right on to my recovery. I want to tell you about my bottom because they say if you forget it, you're doomed to repeat it. And I worked off International Drive in Orlando, Florida, for those of you who've been to the Disney thing. I drove home and stopped at the 7-Eleven near Wet n' Wild and bought two frozen Dove bars and inhaled those puppies, got a little ice cream headache, and got over on Kirkman Road and stopped at McDonald's, got a burger, fries, and a shake. Had to eat those really quick because I only had maybe two more miles to go behind Universal Studios. And I got home, and I lived in a little cul-de-sac, and I get to the top of the street, and the theme song from The Love Story starts going off in my head. And I picture my husband, handsome, waiting at the door for me. Our 2.5 children were in bed, a little white house, a little white picket fence, you know, and he would kiss me at the door, and we'd have this gourmet dinner. I don't know where it came from, but we had a gourmet dinner, and we'd make mad, passionate love all night long. And I walked in the door, and there's reality. No kids. The house, I think, was cream-colored with brick. He was nursing a hangover on the couch so he could go back to his job that night as a nude. He was a bartender in a nude bar. I think he wore clothes, but most of the women didn't. And so I went over, and I still had to try to make the fantasy come true, so I tried to hug him, you know, and I went to put my arms around him, and he grabbed my wrists and held onto those wrists so I couldn't get my arms around him with this look of disgust on his face that went right through my heart. Oh. But the truth was that binge didn't take the edge off. It stopped working. So he went to bed so he could get a little more sleep before he went back to work again that night. So I did the only thing I knew how to do, and that was go back out in the kitchen. And I made a whole box of pasta and a whole chicken and ate those, and I thought my stomach was split wide open. He went to work, and I went on the couch all by myself and watched some soppy HBO love story and started eating pretzels. And I started thinking of ways to kill myself. And when I got to the idea of blowing my brains out and then thinking, oh, my mom, what would my mom think if they came and they found my brains on the wall? I said, oh, that's suicide. I thought maybe I could call somebody, but I couldn't think of anybody to call because, you know, life had gotten down to just me and that my best friend, food. So I couldn't even think of a person to call. And it scared the heck out of me. And I just sat in that couch and I sobbed and I said, God, help me. And that was a God I didn't even believe in. But he did hear me and I passed out. So I didn't end up taking my life that night. And within a week, I found Overeaters Anonymous. A girl from work, I was whining to her because that alcoholic husband got a DUI. He ended up in AA, and instead of going to the bars, now he went to AA, so I'm still sitting home alone. Mm-hmm. And I was whining to her about it because she had told me, this girl at work, that she was a recovered alcoholic, and she told me about Overeaters Anonymous. And I got to my first meeting, and that was May 15th, 1993. And they told me to be abstinent. I didn't know what that was, but I thought I would be abstinent. So I went on my favorite diet. That by that time it was 500 calories and 5 grams of fat.
Yeah.
I think that's called anorexia now. And they went around the room. I knew he had a sponsor, so everything he did, I wanted to do better. I'm very competitive by nature. So he had a sponsor, and they went around the room. Back then, Overeaters Anonymous in Central Florida was not thriving the way it is now. So it was a big meeting. There was 50 people in the meeting. I went around the room. My name is Betty. I'm a sponsor, but I'm not available. And my name is Sharon, and I'm a sponsor, but I'm not available. And I'm thinking, well, if you're not available, why don't you just shut up, you know? Which one's available? None of them were available. So I went out on a sponsor quest. And the next night, I went to an OA meeting at a hospital. And that meeting was smaller, and it was a how meeting. I didn't know how, so I figured that would be good if I went to a meeting to learn how. It seemed the same as the other meeting, except it was a little longer. And they went around the room. There was, and one woman said she was the sponsor, and she didn't say she was available. Great. So I stalked her the rest of the meeting. And in the end, you know, we did that little thing like, keep coming back. It works if you work it. Give a lot of love. Give a lot of hugs. Hi, Beverly. My name's Jerry. Would you be my sponsor? And she said yes. And so that's how I got my first sponsor. And she snapped me up right away and helped me get on a better food plan. I abstained from sugar from that very first day. And my food plan over the years has changed. I went from just 3 meals a day, nothing in between, no sugar, to what I'm doing today, and that's I eat 3 meals a day, nothing in between, I weigh and measure, and that's abstinence for me today. And by doing that, I've lost and maintained over 100 pounds, and that's a real miracle, because I didn't do that in any of the diets I went on. I wonder what makes that different. What makes OA different from all those diets? I don't know. There wasn't any diets on the table. We didn't even have, we had big books in there. We didn't have the dignity of choice, which we're very fortunate to have today. Diets were exchanged out back in the alley behind the meeting. The literature table had the OA 12. There was no AN 12 yet. So we really scrapped our way through in the early days. My first 5 years in recovery, I didn't do too much service above a meeting level. But that sponsor told me, for every chair you put away in a meeting, you're going to get 1 day of abstinence. That was great. So as of today, I have 5,620 chairs put away. At about 5 years of recovery, I kind of bloomed. They say you get walking around sense. Well, I did. Or maybe I didn't. I don't know. But someone suggested I go to an intergroup meeting. I wasn't even a rep. I just wanted to see what it was like because I heard these horror stories about all these fat women sitting around pontificating for hours, and I just wanted to see what that looked like. So I went, and I left as a treasurer. I did that for a year. I didn't really much like being a treasurer, but I did have sponsors that said when someone asks you to do service, the answer is yes. I think the region chairs are mad at me because for the World Service Business Conference, someone had asked me if I would be in charge of entertainment for World Service Business Conference, and yes, popped out so fast. So I came to the chair and said, we have to do this. So I moved up the ranks with my service as a treasurer and became vice chair. And 1 month after that, the chairman quit, so I became chair of intergroup. God kind of put something on my heart. He said, what are you doing about supporting each other for your recovery? And then what are you doing as a group to help Central Florida? At the time, I was in Central Florida intergroup. I'm in Space Coast now. So I put that on the agenda every week, and they looked at me like somebody was cooking in my kitchen and nobody turned on my stove. But we still, I did that every week. Like, what are we doing as a group to support each other in our abstinence? Because there wasn't a lot of abstinence. There were a lot of overweight people saying they were abstinent and not getting to a normal body size. So we really started to help each other. We teamed up. We became buddies. Like, you always had a buddy for the month. And we connected with one another. And body sizes started coming down. Wasn't that amazing? And then I started recruiting sponsees, and they started going to intergroup. And then their sponsees started going to intergroup. And now that intergroup is really strong. Watch out for Space Coast. I just got there. So they're in trouble. But then I started going to Region. I was just totally amazed by Region. And somebody said, we really need a secretary. Why don't you run? I said, okay. So I got elected secretary. Absolutely hated that. I hated it. But I did it for 2 years because I committed. And then I took a break from Region for an assembly or two. And then my good friend Sarah Glover from Nashville was our chair. And nobody was, I mean, we have three elections coming up and they're all unopposed. And that makes me really sad that people don't have a choice. But I said to some people from my intergroup, if Sarah runs alone, throw my name out there to run against her. And Sarah and I joked about it. And I ran on a platform of abstinence at Region 8. I said, what we're doing isn't bad. It works. But if abstinence is important to you, then elect me, because we're going to really focus on abstinence in Region 8 if you do. And they elected me. And so we have done a lot of things differently at our assemblies to try to make abstinence the focal point of what we're doing. When I get up on the podium on Friday nights, I ask people to, if they're not in contact with their sponsor that weekend, to get a buddy sponsor, ask the person next. It doesn't matter. We're all bozos on the bus, right? I mean, I'm not some exalted thing because I'm a sponsor or not, or a region chair. I'm just somebody that says yes a lot. So, and things are changing at Region 8. We really rock and roll there. We've really been devastated over the years from physical events or nature events by Hurricane Katrina has affected us very badly. We've lost a lot of groups in Louisiana. I mean, we've physically lost the groups. They've moved away. Those people no longer live in our region. The panhandle of Florida is finally coming back. I was able to go up there and lead a retreat for them, and they're starting to get their meetings back up and running. So I know I only got about a minute left, so I just want to tell you about what I've gotten from Overeaters Anonymous, and that's abundance in my life. I have the most fantastic life you could possibly imagine. When you see those pictures, you see that handsome husband of mine. I mean, I divorced the alcoholic. He's happy somewhere. I'm glad for him. But a normal man was attracted to me. I have wonderful stepchildren. And the house isn't white still. It's yellow. Now it's green shutters. I just love it. And I have a little dog, Pooh Bear, that I miss very much. But that abundance in my life was a trade-off. I had to decide where I wanted it. I've got a God that just loves the bejeebers out of me, and he wants me to have abundance. I just have a choice today on where I want it, in my mouth, on my butt, or in my life. And I like it the way it is. I do service. I do a lot of service. I don't know if I'd call myself a junkie, but one day I remember driving home and I said, you know, this sucks. I'm done. I'm going to Burger King. And then all those people I would have to call and say, look, I can't be region chair anymore because I'm not abstinent. Am I sponsored? I can't be your sponsor. You know, I was embarrassed. So my pride turned from being a character defect into an asset. So if you want to stay abstinent, try service. Try service. And rigorous honesty. Thanks for letting me share it. I can say Rehoboth, did I say that? Yeah.